Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
Good evening, everyone, and we want to welcome you to our Wednesday night chapel service. And as you can already tell, it's going to be a little bit different tonight. We've got Pastor Chase and Pastor Stormy with us tonight, and we're going to basically approach just a single topic tonight and kind of just discuss that within ourselves. And we've all taken a little bit different approach in accordance with kind of how we are choosing to, as a church, do things, and that is under the banner of live, grow, and serve. And so tonight we want to take the topic of prayer, which is huge. I mean, there's no way we're going to get to a place of just full discussion tonight, but we want to take that, let prayer be our theme. And basically, we're going to address prayer and the aspect of living, growing, and serving. And so I hope that this is pleasurable for you all tonight. And so in kicking things off tonight, I believe that Pastor Chase took the live portion of that. And so we're going to begin there this evening.
All right, guys. So in getting started, I did a bit of a default move, and I went to a very sort of what we would call like common scripture, one we've read 100 times and heard people say. But I feel like in the thought of trying to live our lives in a state of prayer, or living in such a way that, you know, prayer becomes an active part of what we're doing, that I don't know that you can do better than 1 Thessalonians 5, and it's actually 5 and 17, but I want to read 16 through 18. And I'm reading out of the ESV, and it says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstance, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And then I did want to read just 17 in the Passion Translation, and it reads, "Simply make your life a prayer." And I felt like that sort of kind of summed up what we were trying to say. And I think this is one of those scriptures that almost gets treated like hyperbole sometimes, in that to just say pray without ceasing or make your life pray without ceasing is like, that sounds like a daunting, almost impossible task. But I feel like that lens that the Passion sort of hits it with is that make your life a prayer sort of more fits what I think is a thing that you can do. Never ceasing to pray, just walking around like in your head voice all the time, just praying, like, that could not only get exhausting, but it could almost be dangerous.
Yeah, it almost like it boxes it in,
right,
to something that it's not necessarily, like, that's not that.
It's not probable. And so I have a way of, I like to do analogies. I like metaphors. I like trying to explain things. It's one of my favorite things that Jesus did, was he would take these big, huge, lofty concepts and simplify them. And so in explaining them to teenagers a lot, this sort of concept of praying without ceasing always kind of comes to the difference to me of, like, saying a prayer is like stopping, sitting down, you know, crossing your hands, bowing your head, whatever you do to pray. For me, a lot of times it's driving in the truck, so I can't close my eyes, but I turn the music down, I crack my window, and sort of just, I stop everything else I'm doing other than just focused on driving. And so that to me is like picking up your cell phone, making a phone call. Okay, now I'm talking to God directly. I'm focused on this thing. And while that is practical for certain moments, that doesn't necessarily always work. And so I would more akin what we should do, like if the phone call is the way we're doing it now on the average. If that's that's praying with moments of ceasing is like calling God up. I think more what Paul is sort of saying we should go for here is almost the, and this may go back too far for some of our younger viewers, but having a walkie-talkie.
Yeah.
Just having that constant open line of communication where it's not stopping, pulling something out, making an active, it's just as simple as just saying, "Hey, God," and God immediately answers. Or to keep it more, I guess, in modern terminology, basically waking up in the morning and with that first prayer, dialing God up, and then just never hanging up the phone. Just spending your whole day with that phone line open. One of the things that I think sort of pushes that for me is the concept of we all get to moments in life where we know we need God's input, but we don't have time to stop and just sit for 30 minutes or call our best friend and have a moment of prayer. But if you could live your life in such a way that you've kept that open communication, when it becomes second nature for your brain to sort of get to that point where you just assume God is always standing right here, and that you can just sort of turn to him and be like, hey, God, you see this situation. Can you give me some answers? So that when those moments do come, when you can't sit down on your knees and pray for 30 minutes because you have to make the decision right just now, when you have that open line of communication, God can just talk. How do I say that and make sense?
You're not struggling to get a signal, is what I kind of meant. You're not fighting for it.
We talk about the same concept a lot of times on like a Sunday morning for the worship team. We all do our best to try and get in a mode of praise before we ever walk in the building. Because if we come in here just, you know, dry bones in the desert, having not talked to God for 4 days, that first few moments of worship is not the same thing as if we've all come in ready to go so that God can use us for what we're supposed to do. And I think prayer is the same way. Is, you know, if you're stopping trying to make that call at a moment, sometimes it's hard to hear. Sometimes it's hard to catch everything, or you'll miss the moment that you were looking for. Whereas if you've kept that open line of communication, if you've lived your life in such a way that you have that open line with your Heavenly Father, then in those moments, it's as quick as, you know, you walk into the situation, you hear somebody ask a question, or you see something happening, and you don't even have to even necessarily stop and think or say, God, what do I do? But you can just hear that voice or that moment in your heart where God can just answer, because he knows you're listening. He knows you're already there. You're not trying to make that connection. You're just already there. You're just there for that moment of contact.
Emma and I had actually gone for a walk the other night. It was just us. And almost immediately as we left the house, she began to talk about prayer and how she had been drawn to praying more frequently. And she kind of alluded to that very fact. She said, Dad, it's like I could hear his voice, but there weren't any words. And it was kind of what me and you were talking about the other day. And I said, well, what do you mean, babe? And she said, I said, it wasn't like me and you were talking right now, but you still heard what he was, you know, trying to say to you. And she said, yeah, it was like inside me. And I thought that was so cool, man. That, you know, that even at her age, at the age of 8, that she is making an attempt on a daily basis to communicate with God, and through her prayer time, that she is sensitive enough to hear his voice, you know, and so what we were doing while we were talking was kind of like is always having that open line of communication to where when he does speak, it doesn't matter where we are, or what we're doing, that it's, we can hear his voice. And again, because he's, you know, always present, we know that he can always hear our voice. And so I think that's key.
And like we were talking the other day, I think, when you've kept that open line of communication, you can hear when he's speaking more clearly. Because again, like I said the other day when we were just talking, I don't know that I would ever say that I've heard an audible voice or something that came, you know, from heaven itself. But I've had those moments where I felt a very clear, you know.
Like direction.
And even sometimes just a thought that I knew wasn't me. I knew that was, you know, that was the Lord speaking. But those moments are so much easier and so much more frequent, I think, when we keep ourselves open instead of once or twice a week making that phone call, sitting down, praying a bunch, and then maybe spending 5 or 10 minutes with our ears open. But if you just keep your ears open, I think God is speaking.
Yeah, it may say that scripture in 1 John where it talks about that God is able to do all things in you if your heart doesn't convict you. Like, and I think in that aspect, oftentimes we feel almost like we can't go to God with what we need, or we can't be honest with God because we haven't been as faithful or consistent in our prayer life as we should be. But I think that that's just maybe just a notion that we have to get past. To, you know, to sit here and act like we all get it perfect would be ridiculous, you know? And I think what Emma, you know, her experience proves that it's not as complicated as we make it.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
If we can do like Jesus said and come to him like children, that's how we can, you know, and what he says is receive the kingdom. We receive it that way when we come, with, you know, without burden, without stress of, you know, always toeing the line and always trying to get it right. And then we find ourselves that in this place, like you're saying, it's always just easy to keep that line open.
And again, not trying to promote my children. It's just been the last couple of weeks have been unique. And Melody mentioned to me here a couple of weeks ago now, she had been going through certain books of the Bible and just reading them. But she had, she told me, she said, "Dad, I don't know what book to read next." So I said, "Well, read the book of James. It's always a good book." And so she got into that, and she said what was unique for her was that she began to get into that book, and then the scripture that she read caused her to pray a certain way. And it caused her to, and what she said was what happened, kind of what she fell into was she began to feel like the Lord was talking to her about specific things in her own life. And as she began to pray about those, she said what uniquely would happen was it seemed like the next day she would read in scripture and it would also, it was like it would give her an answer or direction where to go. Yeah. And so I think prayer is key for that, because sometimes in life where if we don't really maybe know where to go, we don't know what scripture to run to. But if we begin to pray, I think that in that time of communication, God says, "Okay, I can lead you and I can guide you." And then when we do get there, we're more apt to see it than if we hadn't been in that attitude or atmosphere of prayer.
I think from the other side of it even is, I guess kind of, it's what you were saying, but looking at it a little different, is when you're just sitting down to read the word, you can just sit down and read words.
Yeah.
You can just sit down and be reading your Bible because, oh, it's 9:30. I better read my six passages today and go on about your business. But if you do have that open line of communication, then like what Melody experiences, God realizes, hey, you're checking in and you're listening. That's two sides of the same concept. You're not just cramming a bunch of stuff in your brain to move on. It's God, I'm here to read your word and I'm ready to hear from you.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, part of that concept that God's word is alive.
It goes past like what you're saying, instead of like fulfilling our religious duty and checking the boxes that we're supposed to check.
Right.
Instead, we're becoming somebody who's acclimated to his presence and
that's
acclimated
like
to
word.
The way he moves. Like now I understand how I'm beginning to see how he works, how his love works for me, how this thing kind of all flows as opposed to just, well, I'm here, you know, I'm just whatever.
Well, and it goes a little bit from, like you said, obligation in the relationship becomes more, and maybe this term will feel uncomfortable to some, but an obsession.
Yeah.
To where you want that, you desire that. So we have to be, I don't know, we just have to be open and ready for that moment, you know?
And to be hungry.
Be hungry.
Like you're saying.
Yeah.
That obsession, that like spiritual hunger that, dude, I know I got to get this in my system today. I need God. I need that strength. I need that next thing that he has for me. Because I know I won't make it through today without it.
Yeah.
And I think it becomes, like you're saying, hunger. You know, it's, to me, hunger is something that just naturally occurs. Like,
right.
You know, I don't, as you can tell, I don't have to be made to feel hungry. It just happens.
Right.
And because I'm acclimated to having meals, eating, and, you know, feeding my body.
Yeah.
And so instead of it being like, I have to make this thing just to,
you get a taste for it.
Yeah.
And well, there's a created appetite.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Right on.
All right.
Well, that's all I've got. Storm, you want to take it away?
Sure.
And grow? And,
well, it's funny that you mentioned that scripture, like pray without ceasing, because that's not the one I picked, but it is kind of what led me to this line of thought is, and you don't really want to hear mature, you know, who you feel like is your church to have mature people say this, but I do feel like that I can be honest in saying that maybe I felt like my prayer life had become a little bit stagnant and had become a little bit, I don't know. I just wanted to kind of move past maybe what the cliche of having a prayer life is. And I started beginning to study that scripture, what it means to pray without ceasing, contemplative prayer, being more than just this conversation being one-sided, really.
Yeah, sure.
Something that I can dialogue with God, that I'm hearing from God. And so I'll read my scripture, but this quote from one of my devotions kind of led me further down this journey. It's from Dallas Willard. It says, "Hearing God cannot be a reliable and intelligible fact of life except when we see his speaking as one aspect of his presence with us or of his life in us. And I like how he linked those two things together, because I think, you know, just off the cuff, we, you know, and I'm guilty of this too, we characterize the presence of God as the feeling we might feel during a worship service or kind of a moment like that, and not understanding that it is linked to his life within us. It is that he is, his presence is in fact based off the fact that he is present. And so if I want his presence with me, I need to know that he's present in my life. And he goes on to say, only our communion with God provides the appropriate context for communication between us and him. And within those communications, or as a result of them, guidance will be given in a manner suitable to our particular lives and circumstances. It will fit into our life together with God in his earthly and heavenly family. And this insight helps us in learning to discern God's voice. So basically, just to kind of, you know, sum all that up, you're talking about growing in prayer, live, grow, serve. To grow up, you have to show up.
Oh, absolutely. And
consistency, and like you're saying, that praying without ceasing, having it become part of your life, as he's saying here, it provides the context of your relationship. Otherwise, it doesn't exist. Otherwise, I'm trying to live vicariously through Pastor John's relationship or Pastor Chase's relationship with God. But for me to have my own substance, for me to have my own context of who I am in God's eyes, that only comes through my communication, my time with him. And like I said, you know, that for me more now than ever, it seems like it used to be really one-sided. I kind of would take God my shopping list and tell him what I need, how I felt I needed to fix this. Yeah. And now it kind of just is turned into, I say it's a dialogue, and it is, but it almost is one-sided in the other way.
Yeah,
I feel like there's a lot more of me not talking, you know, not getting in my own way, not putting my foot in my mouth, and you know, which I don't think is a bad thing. I think God can take all that. But then God, I feel like in those quiet moments, God begins to speak and make himself known. And I feel like I'm moving in growing in prayer. I feel like I'm moving past the old cliche of like the heavens seem like brass and they're shut up. It just doesn't feel like that. It feels like that God is very attentive to me.
Yeah.
And God is in the moment with me. And then, I was, you know, I had that thought, and Jessica suggested this scripture to me in Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7. The Passion Translation says, in the same way that you received Jesus, our Messiah, by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further with him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way. For you are established in the faith that you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. And so it's like, to grow up, you have to show up. That's like this two-part thing. For you're established in the faith that you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion. So you play a part.
Absolutely.
You know, this growth, this thing that occurs, it occurs because you're showing up. It occurs because you're communicating. It occurs because even though we're all probably acquainted with our imperfections and how we don't deserve the presence of God and this, that, and the other, none of that matters to God, because he's there to welcome us with open arms to, you know, to let us come into his presence. And I've always, you know, I've heard it said like this one time, that we often get kind of burdened with this thing that we need to bring God our best. And God really never asks for our best. He just asks that we bring everything to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nothing that, I mean, I have some things that are good, I suppose, but I have a lot that's, you know, I don't want to show people. I try to hide. I'm not proud of myself. I have things in my past that come up, and I have to bring those things to God too.
Well, Jesus offered us the best deal ever, that we can bring our literal trash and exchange it for mercy and goodness.
Yeah.
And I think, well, like you're saying, like, that's hard to do sometimes, to walk into a moment of prayer and be like, God, this is just all of me. You can have all of this. What do you want to deposit?
Yeah.
I definitely have been guilty in moments of prayer of filling time. Yeah. Being like,
oh, I think we all
I have 30 yeah. more minutes that we're at his time. I know we're going to be here 30 more minutes. I've got to make sure I fill that space. I don't want to just be the guy sitting here. Mm-hmm. And in some of those moments, I know that I've missed out on just listening. What you were saying earlier, the sort of like the comparison that comes to my mind is the difference in just throwing a seed out and letting it grow versus coming in every day and nurturing that,
yeah.
watering it, yeah. adding good, you know, tilling up the soil before you plant it. Like if you're willing to do that with your prayer life, not just it be part of you, but to actively try and make something of it.
I think that we are really guilty of not understanding that faith is a journey. It is a path that is long and methodical and thought out. And, you know, we hope for, you know, we're a culture that's Pentecostal, charismatic. We want signs, wonders, miracles, boom, boom, boom. And we have, and God does those things, and God shows up in our moment and does miraculous things in the here and now. But I think sometimes in that aspect, we kind of downplay the fact that God takes us through processes, the fact that praying without ceasing is moment by moment by right. moment by moment.
Well, just like the scripture you read, it says continue your journey of faith. Mm-hmm. And then it says progressing further mm-hmm. into your union with him.
Yeah.
You know, it is. It's about that nurturing aspect of coming in and not just being satisfied with the checklist or an obligatory moment, but it's allowing because, I mean, in ways of growing and nurturing, sometimes that means things have to be stripped away. Sometimes you right. got to pull the weeds.
Sometimes you
got to dig around, and sometimes you got to, you got to add things into the soil. And that isn't always a fun part to do at right. first. But the other side is that begins to grow and gain strength, and then that leads to fruit. You know, and that's what we have to remember in our lives.
And it says here, too, that your spiritual roots go deeply into the life or into his life as you are continually infused with strength. And I think that maybe the struggle of us giving up or, you know, throwing in the towel sometimes is the fact that we may not see the results.
Yeah.
But, you know, as they say in here, with the seed, the roots go down first before mm-hmm. a sprout ever comes back up. And so you're growing, and sometimes it's not visible. And sometimes, and a lot, even as you continue to grow, as you're growing up, you're still growing down. And a lot of those things happen beneath the surface where mm-hmm. you can't see. And I feel like that's part of the aspect as we grow with God, that some of those things, all of those things merely have to occur between us and God. It can't occur through this relationship. It may not recur through that relationship. It can, but it has to be undergirded by that intimate, you know, as Dallas Willard said, that context that has been provided through our personal communication.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll lob the ball to you now.
All right. Well, in looking at how we can serve in prayer, I immediately was drawn to a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18, then with again 19 and 20. We'll read that here real quick. It says, pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding in behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people, and pray also for me that freedom of utterance may be given me, that I may open my mouth to proclaim boldly the mystery of the good news or the gospel, verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in a coupling chain in prison. Pray that I may declare it boldly and courageously as I ought to do. And I know a lot of times, you know, we get in those situations, and if we haven't had that element of communication, if we're not growing, maybe our prayer life does become stagnant. And then what happens is we're no longer serving in prayer. Sometimes people are like, well, I don't know what to pray, or I don't know who to pray for. And so when I was kind of looking at this passage of scripture as God laid it on my heart, I felt like it was very clear on some ways that we can serve in prayer, no matter where you are in your walk or relationship with the Lord. The first thing that kind of sticks out to me was in verse 18. It said, pray at all times. And again, that goes back to where we started at the beginning with that. Make your life a prayer. Pray without ceasing. And again, that what that really alludes to here is to pray, again, not just constantly, but to pray passionately. And I think sometimes we miss that. I think, you know, sometimes we get maybe a little dry, but I think the Lord is looking for a heart that is on fire, that loves Him, that is passionate. And so while we are to pray at all times, we are to also pray passionately. You know, I think sometimes again when we begin to pray just out of obligation, what happens is it just becomes like it loses its luster.
And I think some alluding, you know, sort of where Storm took us to that concept of growing it. When you first start the process of having a real prayer life, it's so hard for that. I don't know, maybe it's been too long for you guys, but I can still remember that first time sitting down in a genuine prayer meeting, not just a moment of prayer by myself, but a moment where there was like 10 or 15 other people there and there was like a time frame expected, and sitting down and just being like, oh no, I have no idea what to do here. Lord, these are all the things that I know are wrong in my life. These are all the people that I know are sick. I really like this person. I hope they're doing okay. You know what I mean? Like going through a list. But then, I mean, that's the beginning, you know, but I think passion comes with growth.
Sure.
Because I know that moment. And then I also know his time services where we sat down and, you know, we started at 7 o'clock, and then at 11:30, someone finally turned, you know, the regular lights on and turned the stage lights off. We're like, well, maybe we should go home. Most of us have school and, you know, other things to do with our lives. And it just sort of, you know, and not even realizing that it had been 4 hours.
That long, yeah.
And I think that's the difference in just coming in and praying versus coming in with passion and with, like Stormy said, a desire to hear.
Yeah.
Because filling up 4 hours just talking, nobody wants to do that.
No.
Okay, there probably are people that want to do that.
God is probably literally the only one that can handle that.
Right. He's the only person that wants to hear from you for 4 hours. But I think also in those 4 hours, he's very interested in talking to us. And I think that passion comes when we have an understanding of coming in praying earnestly, praying that, you know, the moments that the thoughts, the feelings, the needs, the desires, the worries, just laying all those out there. And then also passionately listening. Does that?
No, that makes sense. Yeah.
That's kind of a weird concept that I don't think fits most other things in life, but I think listening to the Lord passionately.
Yeah, and like an attentive.
Purposefully, intentionally, opening your ears and just saying, God, whatever you've got, man, I need to hear that. I need to know what you have, because I don't just want to list all my problems to you for the next 4 hours. I would like to hear from you, and I would like to know the next step in this.
I think passion, too, it comes from us being consistent.
Yeah.
Consistency breeds that. But I think, too, you know, again, consistency is going to look different. It's not that we should be praying the same thing the same way over and over and over again. And I think the other part of that verse in 18, it says that we need to pray with all manner of prayer. And so when you look at that, I caught myself going, well, what exactly does that mean? What does that allude to? All manner of prayer. And so I began to do a little digging, and we find a kind of a scripture that helps us kick that off. Definitely not an all-inclusive list by any measure, but 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people. Now, there's some other things that gets added into that I want to encourage you, if you have time, to go and read the rest of that chapter for sure, especially the next few verses that follow that. But for where we are today, again, all manner of purpose, you know, he lists them out. He says supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgivings. And so at first, if we don't take the time to kind of dig in and grow, all of those things seem maybe the same. It's like they just chose to repeat the same word 4 times. But when we look at that, supplication is that moment of petition or request, right. You know, where there is a need that's present either in our life or maybe for somebody else, and we're going to God on their behalf. But at the same time, that word prayers that follows that, it means prayers that are directly to God. That, to me, when I begin to read that, that's prayers of relationship. That's prayers of communication. That's that back and forth between you and the Heavenly Father, where you are growing in that, and you're communicating in that. Yeah. And then, you know, it lists intercessions, and that is prayer that is Spirit-led or Spirit-directed, meaning, again, a lot of times I think we think intercessory prayer is just praying for hours on end or
for people specifically.
And that could be intercessory prayer. But that is not the limit of intercessory prayer. And specifically here, it refers to being Spirit led in your prayer, Spirit direction. I think we've all had those moments where maybe in the middle of your day, you're in a completely different track of thought. And all of a sudden the Spirit hits you and you know you have to pray for either maybe a certain person or a situation. And so again, having that element of listening and communication to where when the Spirit leads us and directs us, man, we're right there. We're not missing that moment.
I would go so far as to say that I've had moments where I didn't even know a person, a place, a situation. It was just that simple, plain thought of just pray.
Yeah.
Pray God's will, pray his, you know, pray his hand to move, his, you know, his armies to show up. Those moments of just something needs to be pushed through. I have no idea what it is, but I'm stepping in and saying, God, make me a part. Make me a part of this chain, a part of this process.
Yeah, I find, and I may have felt like, I shouldn't say this before, but now in this stage of my life, I just, you know, I'm settled with it. The majority of my prayer life, because for that reason, is praying in the Holy Spirit. Because I just don't know what to pray most of the time. Yeah. And I guess I've just become comfortable within the aspect of, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I'm not sure how
this
is going to work out.
I don't know
out.
That we always need to know. Yeah, I think our human nature says, well, I need to know. But I think when we're Spirit-led, and even in those moments like you're saying, where if we can't formulate the words in English, that shouldn't be a challenge for us, because we should be able to, as the
God
Word declares,
has given, yeah.
Pray in the Spirit. He's abiding in us. We're abiding in Him. And so because of that very fact, we should know that the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Yeah. And if He is praying with us and interceding on our behalf, if He's leading us to a moment and we can't put the words together in English, don't be afraid to pray in the Spirit. I think
to utilize that
perfect.
Gift.
And Paul said, I do that more than any of you. So obviously it's something that I think, especially really early on in the process for me, when I sort of first had that moment of, you know, of praying in the Spirit with the Lord, that it kind of just became a, man, I hate to even say that out loud. It was a moment of just when things were. And we're back. Sorry about that, guys. We had a little bit of technical difficulties with the camera, but we're right back. Okay. So my thought. When I first received that gift of speaking in tongues, of praying in the Spirit, for me, the only time I sort of utilized that or leaned into it were like those big moments of worship, or where I was excited, or, you know, where I was hard and deep in prayer and really just trying to intensity, I guess is the right word. It was moments of high intensity, and it was a long time before I sort of realized that. In moments where I want to be in prayer but don't have anything to focus on, that it's okay to just lean into the Holy Spirit and just sort of hang out with Him and let Him use me for whatever He needs to use me for. That's one of my favorite ways to think about it, I guess, is that in those moments, I've set myself aside and just said, Holy Spirit, use me.
Yeah.
Sure. Whatever there needs to be intercession prayer for, whatever there needs to be petition made for, I'm open. Use me. Do whatever you need to do through me and in me, because that's what I'm here for.
Well, and I think that's a key aspect of, again, being able to help with the praying at all times is being so Spirit led, and then also knowing that that we don't have to come up with the perfect words in that moment, yeah, to just let him speak those words, and how much more that can accomplish in that moment. The fourth thing that we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2 is a prayer of thanksgivings. And basically, that's just those prayers that are focused on the element of worship and thankfulness, gratitude. Yeah. And I can tell you that some of the most intense moments for me are moments where I just simply am thankful. Like we were talking the other day of making that list of things, yeah, that we were thankful for, appreciated in our life. Some, when I begin to recount those things and those people, those places, those times, and just how good God has been, mm-hmm, man, those have been some amazing moments in my life, you know, of prayer that was just simply giving him glory, giving him the honor, thanking him for what he has done in my life. you know, and there's, again, we see those four things mentioned here, but they're not all inclusive by any measure. You know, you've got things like the prayer of faith. And again, that's the prayer that believes in the power of God, but also in the goodness of God, mm-hmm, that he is faithful and he's going to come through. You know, we use a lot of times the terminology, the prayer of agreement.
Yeah.
And again, being united in prayer that's specific, you know, and you see that to where it can be implemented in our Christian life and in our Christian walk, whether it's two or three are gathered or whether it's the whole entire corporate body at that moment. But the power of that prayer of agreement, for there could be prayer of consecration, where it's just a time of us drawing away to draw closer to the Lord, to grow, like you, yeah, mentioned earlier, and, mm-hmm, and to develop that intimacy between our lives and his. Or again, one that we probably don't like to add in is prayer, but it's prayer and fasting, you know, as we see in Matthew chapter 17 and 21, and then Mark chapter 9, verse 29, where Jesus said, this kind goes only, you know, by prayer and fasting. And so there are certain things that, again, there are many ways we can serve in prayer. We just have to be aware of them, mm-hmm, and then allow those things to start to function and operate in our life. And some things will be easier. Maybe for some people it's really easy to have that prayer of thanksgiving, but it's really hard to have that prayer of intercession, you know, being led by the Spirit. But again, that's where the growth and the communication come in, because that's what brings the maturity and development, is when we begin to serve. It's like putting everything into practice, you know.
So, and this, it's related because that's what made me think of it, I guess. It was something I heard a long time ago, and it was, we were just in a men's meeting, and one of the gentlemen in there basically just put out that, you know, there were moments in his life where he felt like he had, in, I guess, trying to do this, serving someone in prayer, you know, interceding for, yeah, them, praying on their behalf, praying that God would heal them or bless them, and doing it for hours on end. And then, but then also sometimes it's okay. I think we get so distracted thinking that that's what we have to do. And I think that that's good. Please don't misunderstand. There are moments that you should get down on your knees or on your face and just pray until you can't pray anymore. But I think also, like today, we received a text message and it said, hey, can you pray? And I was in the middle of working. I was doing. And so I didn't take that moment to stop and sit down. But I did stop what I was doing and say a quick prayer. And I think sometimes we miss the simplicity that that's okay. Yeah. That those little short, as long as your heart is in it and you're not just saying it to check off the box. But if you stop, and even if it's for just that second, to say, hey, God, you see the situation. You see what needs to happen. I pray that you would do that, and that you would do it in that way that only you can. I think sometimes we like you were saying, sometimes we overcomplicate it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can be as simple as God bless them, or, you know, God watch over them, God keep them safe. Because we do live in a fast-paced life, and sometimes you don't have, you know, 25 minutes before somebody makes their trip to the airport to, like, sit down and pray for safe travels. So, but take that second to just, you know, put your hand on their shoulder and say, God watch over them, God keep them. And I think God is just as faithful to answer those prayers.
Yeah, and if we trust that God is present with us in all aspects, we trust that in that moment, he's present, he's available, yeah, to hear those things. And it doesn't, like, yeah, it don't have to be some complicated, complex, difficult thing. It's just the fact that our Father is attentive to us in that, right, moment. even as we serve.
Yeah. Well, and again, I think it goes back to sincerity and that prayer of faith. Nothing in the Bible tells us that a prayer of faith has to be complex and complicated and full of, you know, $5 words. It just has to be done from a position to where we believe God is able to do that thing and that he's going to make it all come together in his perfectness, if you will.
Yeah.
So I think that's really the key to some of that. As we progress just on through this tonight, verse 19, it said basically that we're to pray for freedom of utterance. And so maybe that can get a little cloudy for some people. And so just to bring just a quick little, you know, I guess, synopsis to that, basically that means that we're to pray for a release of revelation, basically a release of revelation to us, but also through us. And with that, we need to be praying for that same release of revelation for other people, whether it's our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, the leadership of our churches, the people that we go to church with, just others in general, if you will, that not only will we experience that release of revelation from God's Spirit, from his word, but that other people will also experience that very same moment. And then, so that's a way that, again, we can serve through prayer. And then finally, in verse 20, it says that we're to pray for boldness to preach the gospel, or again, the truth that is found inside of God's word at every opportunity. And again, that goes back to being in communication, growing, knowing that this is a moment, this is a thing, hearing, being Spirit-led, and knowing that it, right there in that moment that God can use us. And so we need to pray that those moments and opportunities happen, again, not just for us, but for others.
Yeah.
And that when those moments happen, we need to pray specifically that whether it's us or, again, our spouse, whoever it may be, that they have the boldness to rise up in that moment and take advantage of that opportunity as God has given it to them. Mm. And again, you know, when we're talking about, you know, living and growing and serving, I know that as a church body, we've attached with that maybe some uncommon words or archaic words for some people, all right? And that is intentional, relational, and missional. And so I wanted to just throw a little chip to that here tonight, because when we serve in prayer, I do believe that we need to serve intentionally.
Yeah.
And so as scripture, as we've just gone through, the intentional way is at all times and in all manners. There you go. That's intentional. You know, relational, as we see in Ephesians 6 here that we just went over, we need to pray on behalf of all the saints. And then again in 1 Timothy chapter 2 where we read, it says that prayers need to be made for all people. So we need to cover the church family, but we don't pray just for the church family. We pray for all people.
Yeah.
All right, no matter what walk of life they may be in, good, bad, ugly, indifferent, whatever. So that's how we intertwine that relational aspect. But then when it comes to missional, I kind of got stumped for a minute. I thought, how do we serve in prayer missionally? But really what I felt like the Spirit just kind of led me to write down was that prayer becomes missional when we become instruments of prayer. Prayer becomes missional when we become instruments of prayer, because if we are not praying, then none of that other stuff is going to happen. Mm-hmm. There is no way to serve if you're not first allowing yourself to become that instrument of prayer. So again, by restraining prayer or not engaging in prayer, basically we cease to live, we cease to grow, and we cease to serve if we're not ready and willing to engage in that capacity.
Well, yeah, and the aspect of like missionally, if we're not that instrument, then we're not in a place to receive God's heart for humanity. True. And I think in doing so, as his human nature has proven, we default to magnifying our problems.
Yeah.
And making things bigger than God, making things scary, you know, submitting to fear, because we're not offering that part of our life to God. And I think, you know, like I feel like that when I think of serve, I think of like, you know, serving something on a platter.
Yeah.
And not only do I want to serve God's people with that prayer, I want to serve the Lord with that prayer.
Yeah.
And I want to offer myself up to, and in doing so, by default, I don't offer myself up to fear, to my problems and everything like that, because in that scope and that aspect, I begin to see what's real.
You've intentionally chosen your focus.
Yes.
You've intentionally chosen. This is for missional, my default thought is and my younger life was a little different. But I default to those thoughts of people telling me, you know, their grandmothers or their mom that spent their whole lives just praying the gates of hell open. You know, pushing them down, getting it, you know, getting literally every person they can get out. I always think of, you know, the gospel trying like it's just a constant battle, right? That the gospel is trying to reach everywhere it can, and that the enemy, whatever you want to call it, is always in the way. And but though those people, those prayer warriors who spend hours and hours, our ladies here that come in every week, that to me is missional prayer, because they're literally praying that the gospel can reach where it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. And I think in those moments, their prayers open doors, windows, knock down walls, whatever God needs to be done, so that the people who are physically, you know, on the mission field, whether it's at home or somewhere far, far off, those prayers of just, again, in moments of just letting the Holy Spirit pray, I think God can use those moments to open doors that we don't even, that we'll never see.
Yeah.
You know, moments in this world that we'll never even be aware of, those moments get open when you just open yourself to the Holy Spirit. Or, like you said, you just sit down and consistently just engage in prayer with the Lord. God can open doors, again, that we'll never see. You'll never be aware of the person who gets saved because you spent an extra 5 minutes in prayer until we all make it to heaven, you know, and then we can see all the lives that, you know, God used us to touch.
And we may not see the fruit of every prayer that we pray, or even that we've prayed in agreement with somebody else. Maybe we don't get to see the fruit of that. But again, one day I think it will all be blended together, and we have to know and believe. The Word says that the prayer of the righteous availeth much, you know, and so it can accomplish things that really probably go far beyond our imaginations. And the value of living a life of prayer and being that instrument of prayer, I think, is just, it's not as complicated maybe as often is described, but it just needs to be something that we live in, that we grow in, and we look for ways to just simply serve in.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then by doing that, again, I think that we honor God, our Father, and we just, again, we're impacting the kingdom of God. We're impacting eternity.
You see results of it. You know, Jude says that when you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're building yourself up. Mm-hmm. When you're praying, interceding for other people, you're tearing down strongholds that may be in their life. Mm-hmm. You're taking that authority away from the enemy or from whatever. And then undergirded in all of that is that God is magnified, He's praised, and He hit the reality of who He is made bigger than any problem or anything we face.
Absolutely. Well, I think we're going to kind of end there on that note. Okay. I think that's a perfect note to end on, because we're actually tonight, as I stated at the beginning, we're doing things a little bit different. And so at this point, I'm actually going to invite Jessica to come, and we're going to have just a moment of worship, giving God that honor and praise that He so richly deserves tonight. And so we want you to just engage with us in that moment of worship and prayer tonight. And let's just give God that glory and honor again that He deserves.
Well, thank y'all for inviting me up here with you, and thank you for what you spoke on. I think it's so important in this day and age, because especially where we're so isolated, I feel like this is a topic where the enemy can make us feel even more isolated in our prayer lives. He makes us feel like we're the only one that goes through what we go through, and like we're the only ones that have a hard time with prayer, but we're not. I think as a Christian, a baby Christian, or a Christian for a long time, people can really struggle with prayer. So thank you for kind of jerking the cover off that and, you know, making it aware that we're not the only ones that go through what we go through. But let's just enter into His presence with a little bit of prayer, and then we'll sing together. Lord, we just thank you, God, for this day, Lord, and all that you are, Lord, the ways that you bless us, the ways that you keep us, God, the way that your hand of protection and and love is just over us. God, we just thank you for this moment. God, we just ask that you would be glorified, God, that you would be lifted high, that you would be exalted in this moment, God, and that we would just learn to push in just a little bit deeper, God. We thank you, Lord, for your presence. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. There is a God who loves me. Who wraps me in his arms. That is the place where I'm changed. And Lord, that is where secret place where I can be with you. You can make me like you. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. Wrap me in your arms. And wrap me in. Oh, wrap me in your arms. Wrap that secret place, Lord, that we can all have, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can run into that secret place, God, and we can learn more about you, God. We can learn more about ourselves and who you've created us to be, God. we thank you, Lord, that everyone can have that secret place, Lord. It's not withheld from anyone, yes. Lord, and all that you ask is that we would come in. God, you are always ready and waiting for us, and we thank you, Lord, for your presence. God, I just ask that our family and our friends, Lord, would be encouraged through this time. Lord, that they would just become a little closer to you, Lord, through this moment. God, we thank you and we praise you. God, we never want to fail to give you the praise, glory, or honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you all for being with us. We pray that you are blessed. We just pray that you have a great rest of your evening. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.